Tuesday night, or Yud Beis, other Aleph. So we talked about, last time we learned, we talked about saying Yul HaRotzon at the end of Shmona Esrei. I want to give a bigger Rekka, I think it's called, on that. According to the Gra, it's brought down in the Siddur HaGra, that once you say Yul HaRotzon, you're effectively finished with Shmona Esrei. And so that has two ramifications. First of all, he says not to say what we call the first Yul HaRotzon, because then we're adding the Tachnunim of Alakai Netzor L'Shoni Meira essentially after Shmona Esrei. And that's one ramification. Another ramification is that he holds not to answer even Kedusha in Elokai Netzor L'Shoni Meira, not like the Ramah, meaning even if you didn't say Yul HaRotzon, well, not even. You didn't say Yul HaRotzon, so he holds you, it's essentially like you're in the middle of Shmona Esrei still, and you're not allowed to answer even Yehesh Meiraba or Kedusha. It's brought down that even those, it's some people, I saw this brought down, if there's a certain logic, well, I don't know, it says even the people that say the first Yul HaRotzon, on Yom Kippur would not, because there's a din that the vidui has to be said b'soch ha'tfilah. And they were choshesh for the shitas ha'groa, and they didn't, once you say the Yul HaRotzon as we say it, and then you say the vidui in al-chait, then you're saying vidui after tefillah. You're not saying the vidui in Shmona Esrei. So they were choshesh for the Gorshit on Yom Kippur, and they didn't say the first Yul HaRotzon. So again, so the Gorshita is that once you say Yul HaRotzon, you're essentially finished with Shmona Esrei. And if you didn't say, and therefore you only say what we call the second one, and you don't answer Kaddish or Kedusha, even while you're saying Elokai Netzor L'Shoni Meira. The Ramah happens to be chaylik about answering Kaddish or Kedusha, even if you didn't say what we call the first Yul HaRotzon, but we'll put that on the side, because, if you're doing like the Gra, then I would imagine most people that do like the Gra go all the way with the Gra and don't switch over to the Ramah to answer Kedusha and Yehesh Meiraba. But then they wouldn't, or they would quickly say Yul HaRotzon if they really wanted to answer. So you can say Yul HaRotzon. The Mishnah Brura, the Ramah, they don't go with the Gra, and they say Yul HaRotzon. They say the first Yul HaRotzon because to say Tachnun HaMacharat Tfila, they say you should say Yul HaRotzon first. Yul HaRotzon should be, just like you saw Mechgulu L'Tfila at the beginning of Shmona Esrei, so the Gemara really, if you know the Gemara in Brachas, the Gemara Tzustels, the Gula Arichta, the Tfila Arichta, and the Gemara compares Yul HaRotzon, but if we try to compare it, and therefore it should be as close as possible to the end of the essential Shmona Esrei. So that's why we say the first Yul HaRotzon. Do we hold like the Gra that we're essentially finished Shmona Esrei? I guess not. Or else Taka the Vidui thing would be a good kasha. So then we say the Tachnunim, and then then you say, okay, so now when it comes to Kaddish and Kedusha, you can answer it. That's what we saw in the Mishnah Brura last time, that it's better to to quickly say the second Yul HaRotzon and take the three steps back, so that you're not oimel b'fnei hamelech anymore. That's the lechatchila way to do it. But the evidence you can answer Kaddish and Kedusha. You said the first Yul HaRotzon, so you like certainly can, but even that is not lechatchila. The lechatchila is to take the three steps back. Once you've taken the three steps back, you're certainly finished with Shmona Esrei, and anything you say after that, I was asked by a few people, you know, you could say anything you want, you could always daven to Hashem, but now you're really finished with Shmona Esrei. The truth is, after you say the second Yul HaRotzon, even if you don't take the three steps back yet, let's say there's someone in back of you saying Shmona Esrei, but you are still essentially finished with Shmona Esrei, and you can even answer then Baruch Hu V'ruch Shemo, once you said the second Yul HaRotzon, even if you didn't take the three steps back. But there is some element, I guess, of Omid Lefnei HaMelech, even though you can answer Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, because you see the Mishnah Berurah really wants you to take the three steps back, signifying the total end of Shemona Esrei before you answer. Okay? No. Just take the three steps back. Okay. Chavis Halvavis, Sharavis Hashem. Chavis Halvavis is talking about how wonderful the nighttime is. It's a wonderful time to commune with Hashem and to practice talking to Hashem. Now, it is true that the Chavis Halvavis' nights had no electric lights and no street lights and no telephones and no computers. It was basically dark. And there was not much activity going on at night. So his description of how wonderful night is to commune with Hashem is, unfortunately, some of the things he says is still true about our nights. Unfortunately, it's unfortunately because it's certainly not natural. It's not natural. We have artificial light, and that's why we're always tired and stressed. And that's why, because we're going on all cylinders all the time. Probably that, you know, you want to see what's in the refrigerator to eat. You know, because it was dark, you went to sleep, there wasn't much you can do, you know. I still don't. Okay, so the Chavis Halvavis extols the night in terms of talking to Hashem, because he says the Ohev Hashem will utilize the night time to talk to Hashem. And he says the night has wonderful advantages over the day, and he lists around 8 or 9 advantages of the night over the day. He says, first of all, you're not busy. Hopefully, you finished your work and you have time. Number two is the guf, he says, the bodily cycle of the you're not as hungry at night. You slow down. That's what he says. He says, again, because it was the natural function of the body is to slow down. Digestion slows down. Everything in the body really does slow down at night. So your taivas haguf, he says, "Ashkeitim b'layla mi b'yom," so you're not as gashmi at night. You're not as involved in your body, so it's easier to commune with Hashem. We'll do one more. Umehem, he says, I'm not sure how it's different than the first thing. The first thing was you're not as busy. The third thing he says, "Heder iske ha'olam," you're not doing things. Going mekachu memkar masu matnu binyan v'charishul zriya. I think he means there's not as much. Oh, he means not as much activity going on around you, and that creates a certain a calming, more soothing effect, a more contemplative effect, because there's not so much going on in the world. Again, we have that a little. Certainly not as much traffic, not as much. The phone doesn't ring as well. Maybe, I don't know. There's not as much going on at night. That might still be true. So he says, first of all, at night we're not as busy. Second of all, the body, the bodily taivis, achila shtia, just calm down at night more. That's the cycle. And there's not as much activity going on. All of this, he's not giving us he's not giving a report. He's talking about why it's easier to talk to Hashem at night. That's how he's that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about Tfilas Ma'ariv. He's talking about, you can sit with a Sefer Tillim, and someone's gonna say, I heard you're not supposed to say Tillim at night. Come talk to me about that. But you could talk to, you're certainly allowed to talk to Hashem at night. The Chavis Halvavis is a very firm believer in his Bodedus, and, he mentions it a few times in the Sefer, how a person should be Mizbodeid every once in a while and talk to Hashem. So now he's saying really nighttime is good to do this. And if you ever wake up 2, 3, 4 in the morning, you really have all of the milos that he's talking about. Okay.